So I'm not feeling any better. So Mike Sullivan has recommended. All of a sudden, he's Dr. Mike Sullivan. That I get a Z-Pack today. So I just called my doctor. I'm getting a Z-Pack. So I mean, I'm fine. I've done the show. The show's great. People say I look great on TV, but I don't feel great. So I'm
no,
getting the Z-Pack.
No fever, though, right?
No fever. Nothing. Able to work out, able to run.
Well, what is just
heaviness in my chest and coughing and a little bit of sneezing. That's it. Able to do everything else and do it well, by the way. But I'm going to try the Z-Pack today, see what happens.
You think you're going to die?
Yes.
Eventually that'll happen.
No, maybe sooner than later. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Because if this doesn't kill me, the Omicron will. Unless Dr. Nicole tells us something different. She is a big-time doctor at the biggest cancer center in the country. She is a two-time big-time author, Make America Healthy Again in Panic. And, of course, now she's for years, one of the senior correspondent stars on Fox News and a frequent guest of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, the lovely Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Dr. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I just say something? You just perfectly described all the symptoms of COVID. Have you gotten a test?
Well, I've already had COVID, though, and I've gotten double vaccinated, and so I got the antibodies.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean,
Did you get a test?
What? No. What? Why? Should I get a test today?
Well, yeah.
You can't get COVID twice, can you?
Wait. You had COVID already?
Yeah, I did.
Of course you can.
Where was I?
We were out. We were both on vacation. It was in August. I had it for 2 days. I had the Delta variant. I was fine. And I didn't feel well for like 2 days. And then I was back at work a week and a half later. But you're telling me I can get it again?
First of all, let's good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Hanukkah.
Hey, Doc.
Thank you. Hi, Doc.
So COVID, you know, first of all, vaccines, boosters, and natural immunity, nothing's 100% foolproof. I don't care if you've gotten 17 boosters. Your chance of getting COVID never gets to zero. The best we could always do is just reduce our risk.
I know, but you get the common cold, you get the flu, the Z-Pack, it's nothing to do with, why does it always go back to the COVID? I have no other symptoms.
Because COVID is still circulating, and while it may only cause a cold in you, it could be deadly in someone else.
Oh,
so you want to make sure you're not spreading it to anybody else.
I'm going home. See you tomorrow.
There you go.
But by the way, the flu could be deadly to someone else. As well as even a common cold in you could cause pneumonia in someone else. So we always recommend, you know, you want to know what you're dealing with. And, you know, the virus that causes COVID-19 happens to just be highly transmissible. So especially right now, it always would behoove people to get a test. They're accessible. You can go to CVS, pick one up. You know, information. I'll never shame you for having information. Information's always a good thing.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Dr. Sapphire, I'm going to leave the studio for the rest of the morning.
I don't blame you
for that assessment.
Yeah, there you go.
No, listen, Dr. Sapphire, let's hope that's not the case. And, I don't think it is, but either way, we'll follow up on it. But Dr. Sapphire, the Omicron variant, I mean, yesterday we were playing, and they played it all day. Dr. Coetzee from South Africa, no reason to panic. It's mild, no severity, 2 days, scratchy throat, a couple of coughs, and everybody's fine. What do you make of this Omicron variant and the hype?
Well, great question. There is a lot of hype around that, and really this entire pandemic, a lot of it has been hype, which is why we talk my book called Panic Attack, right? Because a lot of this has been more fear than facts. And especially when it comes to Omicron, you know, we have a lot of conjecture right now. We have a very little information to go on. But let's talk about what we know and what we don't know. First of all, variants are completely normal. We expect them to emerge while we don't have global immunity, which is why I've said many times over the last year that it is extremely important that the United States helps less wealthy countries build their immunity by giving them vaccines that are affordable and accessible. Because like South Africa, they have a vaccination rate less than 24%. That it's not a surprise that a variant emerged from there. What we know is this alerted health authorities because they had a rise in cases in South Africa. That's a good thing in my opinion, because it wasn't that there was more severe illness occurring or it wasn't increased rate of deaths. It was just cases. And it was a bunch of cases in college campuses. So younger individuals, and they were reporting fatigue, muscle aches, but not shortness of breath, not loss of taste and smell, which in my opinion, that's a good thing. So mild symptoms. Now, you have to remember, these were in younger people. And we know, though, that younger people tend to get more mild illness. So we have to remember that little caveat. The big concern is the scientists have identified about 32 mutations in this variant. Well, you have to remember, alpha, beta, and delta, those all had about 10 to 15 mutations themselves. Now, this Omicron just has a combination of many mutations. So will it evade our vaccine immunity? Will it evade our natural immunity? And these are all still big question marks. The good news is it's not going to make it so the vaccines and natural immunity don't work at all. I can tell you that. But is it possible that maybe their efficacy decreases a bit with it? You know, it's definitely possible. And I'd say it's probable. But again, just like I said earlier, this isn't about getting to zero risk. This is about lowering our risk the best we can. Right. So our existing immunity and living our healthiest lives are what are going to continue to lessen our risk from a severe outcome from COVID-19.
Nicole, I feel like it's never going away. There's going to be a new variant in a couple of weeks and a couple of months, and whether it's Delta or Omicron or the next one, this is getting ridiculous. It's just never going to go away. You got the Fed chair, Powell, saying today that there's a real good chance this is really going to cause huge economic issues. I mean, come on. It's like it's never going to go away.
Well, the only reason it's causing severe economic issues is because we're letting it. Let's go back a century ago to the influenza pandemic. It was a big deal, but since then we have gotten vaccines and we have gotten treatments and we've gotten the ability to test for flu. That's what's going to happen with COVID-19 at this point. This virus is becoming endemic. We already have vaccines, we have boosters, we have treatments, and we have the ability to test for it. So once that we as a country, as a globe, change our mindset into accepting that this is going to be a level of normalcy at some point, we will be able to move forward just like we have with influenza, because we have flu season and people go get their flu shots. And now we're going to have flu and COVID season and people are going to go get their flu and COVID shots. And it's really about a mindset. We have to make sure that we continue to do what we can to protect the vulnerable. And with that is continuing to evolve our vaccines, evolve our boosters, make sure that they are as strong as possible against the emerging variants. But this is what we do every single year with flu. So we will get there. It just is about changing the mindset to get there.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Nicole Saffire on the Bernie and Sid Show. Doctor, I read this theory posited that if this Omicron virus variant is as weak as they say it is, you know, and mild, it essentially will serve as sort of a vaccine itself. In other words, people will get it, they'll experience mild symptoms for a couple of days, get over it, and then they'll have natural immunity, and thus will hasten the end of this pandemic and turn it into the endemic that you just alluded to. What do you think of that theory?
You know, I actually really felt that way with Delta. Delta was so highly transmissible that I said, whether you're vaccinated against it or you're going to be exposed to it at some point. So I think the natural immunity in our country jumped through the roof through the Delta wave. And is it possible Omicron's the same? You know, maybe. I mean, at the end of the day, no one's going to live their life without being exposed to this virus. So the best we can do is just make sure that we are the healthiest we are. And it'd be great to have some existing immunity in case we do. But ultimately, we will all be exposed to it. And that's just what it is going to be. And the more highly transmissible the virus, the more people exposed. All we can hope is that the virus remains to not emerge to be more severe or more virulent, which thankfully these variants tend not to be. They tend to be weaker because, listen, viruses want to live. They don't want to die. If they kill their host, they die too. So they evolve. They're smart. So they evolve to become more contagious and oftentimes less virulent or less severe. And that's what we've seen so far.
All right, Nicole, I need your recommendation here. You've got kids. You're a great mother. You make a mean breakfast every morning, by the way. So my son, Gabriel, you know, he just turned 13, just got bar mitzvahed. And he was diagnosed with dyspraxia as a little boy. That's obviously physical. But he's got some respiratory issues. He takes Singulair every night before he goes to bed since he's like 4 years old. But he's okay. Thank God he's a normal kid. Anyway, he got the COVID back in August too. And then about a month after he got the COVID, we got him his first Pfizer shot. And he ended up in the hospital. He ended up with a heart rate of 133. His fever has spiked to 103. And now I'm deathly afraid to get him his second shot. I can get that exemption, obviously signed by a doctor, and move past that. Or do I take my chance and get the second shot? What would you do if Gabriel was your son?
So, great question, and certainly a great question for his doctors, seeing as they know him. But on a whole, I can tell you that I wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, specifically addressing this question. It was titled, "Should You Vaccinate Your 5 to 11-Year-Old?" You know, I have two kids in that age group. And for me, if a child has already recovered from COVID-19 within the last year and they have circulating antibodies and natural immunity, the data really does support, the data doesn't necessarily support that vaccination in the presence of natural immunity provides any benefit. We certainly know by looking at blood tests that it boosts their antibodies, but we know that the cellular immunity or the more long-term immunity from that natural infection is likely protective enough in this very low-risk population. It shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all. For me, I also think that it is important that pediatricians and physicians and parents consider a single-dose vaccine, as we see that actually the far majority of side effects happen after that second dose. It's not surprising that your son had side effects after the first dose because he already had circulating antibodies in his system.
That's
so that vaccine, that first dose, actually acted like a second dose in him. So I would have the conversation with the pediatrician about potentially not having the second dose because he's already functioned as having a second dose. He had natural immunity plus the single dose. Of course, the official recommendation out of the CDC is the full two-dose vaccine series. However, I think that when you really look at the data, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It shouldn't be so rigid. It shouldn't be so black and white. And I think especially in that age group in males, you should be considering single-dose vaccines. And if a child's already recovered from COVID-19, I'm not sure that there is enough data to confirm there's clinical benefit of vaccination in the presence of natural immunity.
So, Dr. Safar, on the way out, yesterday we had the spectacle of Joe Biden holding an Omicron press conference flanked by Kamala Harris and by Dr. Fauci, the three stooges there. I mean, not exactly inspiring confidence, but Dr. Fauci had said on Sunday that if you attack him on his decisions, you're attacking science. There's a little bit of politics here. You work for Fox News. What do you think of Fauci and those comments?
I mean, so in medicine, we are supposed to be humbled. We are humbled by disease processed. We are humbled by miracles, and we're humbled by our patients. So for physician, a medical doctor, to say that they represent something in its entirety is exactly the philosophy that we try to steer away from. And I would love to say that it was taken out of context, but I can say that he has turned into maybe some of the publicity has just gotten a little to his head these days. I would say that there is no single person that is the face of science, and that is the thing about science. Is it's out of everyone's control, and the best that we can do is act as servants and messengers to evaluate and interpret data. But ultimately, none of us actually represent science itself.
Dude, gotta go. Dude, gotta go.
Two great books, Make America Healthy Again, Panic Attack, Fox News, senior correspondent, a great guest, and a great lady. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, as always, great job here today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You too. Dr. Nicole Sapphire.